Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice. We welcome you to the show. Today is Wednesday, January the 15th, 2014, and our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart. It is our blessing to have the opportunity to get to be with you again today and to share these, I guess the best word that comes to me in this state of mind is these precious tools that just change lives so deeply and so dramatically that it's just amazing. So we're delighted to be part of the amazing in your life. We're delighted to be in the amazement of what happens in our world, in our lives, as these tools unfold and as we take them farther and farther afield. We've been sharing with you the saga as it's unfolded from our trip to Costa Rica, and as we said yesterday, our intensive has shifted dates a little bit, so we'll be doing a 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again intensive, and we'll be including codependence in that as well, and that will start on July. That'll start on March the 7th. And go through the 15th. So it'll be a 9-day. It'll start Friday night, the 7th, and go through a week the following Saturday. So people who need to can just, you know, fly in on Friday, do the intensive, and be back home Saturday night, a week off work. So it's easy and quick, and or if you want to stay a few extra days, there's room to do that, and there are all kinds of just awesome tours to do around Costa Rica. So we're delighted to be supporting that and having that happen. We have this awesome space in not the center that we're looking at for Heartland South, but a different space called Rancho Rica that overlooks the Pacific Ocean. Kind of off in the distance, you can see the ocean. And it's in a town called Carmona in Costa Rica. And as things are unfolding with that shift, it looks like Jeannie and I, you know, we've been talking about we need to learn to speak Spanish, and we're, for the first time in 45 years, we've been invited into, and we're going to be doing a Sunday service at a Spanish church. And of course, I won't be doing it in Spanish because I can't, but they've got a translator because I don't speak a word of Spanish. In fact, we were looking for a place to do some Spanish studies in Costa Rica, and one gentleman that I spoke to, he asked, you know, well, what level are you? Are you a new at it? Are you intermediate? I said, well, you know, all I know about Spanish is that I know how to say sí and merci. And he said, well, merci is French. That's my point. That's all I know about Spanish. So anyway, there's so many people that we've met in the last little while who apologize for their English, Spanish-speaking peoples who apologize for their English, and I just dearly wish that my Spanish were as good as the the English that that so many Spanish speakers apologize for. And I look forward to getting over my own. I was saying to Jeannie yesterday, I'm going to have to do some worksheets on embarrassment, because when I've tried to speak a foreign language before, that's the reality that comes up, and I realize it's something that I need to be about forgiving. Which brings up the topic of forgiveness. What does forgiveness mean? Well, in the situation that I just spoke of, am I going to forgive Spanish for the fact that I feel embarrassed? No. I'm going to apply forgiveness to my embarrassment to delete and remove embarrassment. If you're in a situation where you have pain, are you going to forgive somebody for the fact that you have pain inside of you? No, you may pardon them for the behavior they did that resonated your pain, but you're going to apply forgiveness to the root of your pain to remove your pain. That's the actual forgiveness process. So we're looking to reverse the idea that we've been taught in this culture about forgiveness and go back to the original Aramaic idea, which is a tool with which you go inside yourself and delete undesirable content. That undesirable content is anything that tends to blot out or remove you from awareness of the truth of who you are. And what's the truth of who you are? It's easy to establish the truth of who you are. Just hold a newborn child. You know exactly who you are. You are that awesome presence of love. Your culture has probably taught you to think of yourself as something quite different than the active presence of love. And in order to get back to the truth of who you are, all you need to do is forgive everything in you that's unlike love. So that's what we're here to do. That's what we're here to support. It's just a delightful day to have that opportunity to do it. Please hold the space for Jeannie and I on the 18th of February. We'll be flying into Costa Rica, and we'll be moving into a home with a Spanish-speaking family and going to Spanish school for 2 weeks. So hold the space for us. We'll appreciate that support. In the meantime, Jeannie, is Dr. Tim with us? Can we say hello to the young man?
He is with us, and he's on. Hi, Dr. Tim.
You're there, loud and clear, sir. How do you be?
I'm doing beautifully, thank you. I'm sitting here on a Wednesday morning, and I've had a full morning already, and I'm went into the morning with all kinds of wonderful energy, carried over from the support group last night, and we watched the Yayam's take on the Beatitudes from the ancient Aramaic, and that sparked all kinds of questions and gave us the opportunity to process two of our members and end up with a full appreciation of what they meant when they said, when two or more of you are gathered in my name. And as you talk about, and Dale Allen Hoffman talks about, from the ancient Aramaic, when someone said, in my name, it didn't mean that you sat around and pronounced the person's name. It meant that you did the same work they did in their life. You used their tools, and you got to understand the experience of doing your own work at a deeper level. And that's what happens in that support group when people show up week after week and hold the space of love for each other and do their own work. And it's just a magnificent, magnificent process and a fabulous energy to be involved in.
Yeah, it's amazing how people talk about the work and, never having done the work, resort to all kinds of manipulation and fear, and they say the odd word about love, but the underlying message is that of the content of their own minds, the unresolved content of hostility and fear, the condemnation, the guilt, the grief, the fear, the intimidation, the threats that they haven't resolved inside of themselves, and yet they ostensibly do that in the name of love, which is pretty bizarre to threaten somebody in the name of love. It's like, how do you get those two together? They're such an oxymoron. But, of course, you recognize that somebody who hasn't done the work can't speak about having done the work. And so that's that's the space we're working to come from, is as each of us, as you, as I, as Jeannie, as Rex, as each of us does our work to open the space for another level of being able to converse about, on a practical level, how to take the work forward in your world. It's certainly a pretty awesome gift.
It is, and it is. We're starting off the year. Last week we did a Dale Allen Hoffman 45-minute talk, and we're kind of keeping in the theme. I gave the group the option of several talks last night, and they decided to keep it in the theme of Aramaic Fridays for January and learn a little bit more about the Aramaic Beatitudes, and we discussed the process being kind of an instruction set of how to handle it when something unlike love comes up, how to restore myself to focus on my breath and my connection to my true nature as that loving energy and the energy that is living me and breathing me. And I reminded them of Dale Allen Hoffman's short summary of the first three Beatitudes being the instructions that when something unlike love comes up, breathe, feel it fully, and let it flow through you. And just keep repeating, breathe, feel it, and let it flow. And people were doing that last night in the group, and it brought up all kinds of memories and thoughts and issues and questions for people, and it was just a delightful energy. As I said, we sat and processed two different members who got in touch with different aspects of their history with religion and constrictions and negative thoughts about themselves and the religious process, and it was just magnificent.
And, you know, it's amazing how many people have been through that beating, and it is, in many cases, almost a literal beating. It's verbal, it's emotional, but it is a beating in so many cases. It is just so outrageously abusive, but the denial, oh, no, it was all good for me. And it's just such a fraud that the mind plays, because along with those beatings is the terror of, if I ever told the truth, if I ever admitted the truth to myself about what was done to me, I'd have to puke on those people. You know, that's kind of the thought process that goes on in the mind, as opposed to, if I ever told the truth, I'd simply be able to heal all this abuse that's happened to me that creates disturbance in my physiology, disturbance in my emotions, my relationships, you know, everywhere I turn. And when I can admit, yeah, in the name of God, I was beaten. No, nobody laid a hand on me, but boy, the verbal abuse, the scars that were put in, the intimidation, the fear, the threats, it's really just horrendous. And once we can admit that, certainly can start to break through that and let it loose and be free of the impact of those unconscious dynamics, which, you know, many people look at, you know, the disturbances in their lives and they just say, well, you know, I don't know why, you know, this is disturbed, that's disturbed. I don't know why I've got pain in my body. I don't know why I've got pain in my emotions. I don't know what's wrong today. I don't know why I feel so depressed. I don't know. It's like, you got to admit you were beaten in order to clean it up. And as long as you remain in denial, it's just stuck in there. So that's cool that it's opening up in the group to clean that out.
Well, and in the intro to the Beatitudes, Yeam starts talking about the context in which Yeshua was living and speaking. And he said this whole concept of someone dying to somehow make atonement for someone else's sins completely did not exist in that time. And he went on to say that Yeshua's teachings were about the process for dealing with any upset as it came up and returning to our awareness of our true nature. And one line that I just loved, before he actually got into the Beatitudes, in his introduction, he talked about how words were known in the ancient Aramaic language to carry at least as much, if not more, meaning by the power of their vibration and what they can resonate within the person who hears them. So that a
right.
word may have a one-word meaning for one person, and it may have a three-volume meaning for another person based on, as you would talk about it, Michael, the brain cells the individual has resonated within them when they hear the vibration of the word or the intonation of the word.
Right.
Well, he said it's really very difficult for us in this Western culture to understand that because we're trained to pick things apart word by word, and we want to know what's the meaning of that word and what's the meaning of that word. And so he builds a very nice context for presenting the Beatitudes in music and chanting and in their interpretive meaning. And then he gives this line. He says, part of what we're being told with the Beatitudes is that when I am disturbed, I have been given the gift of being able to bring a new presence to energies that once defeated me.
Nice.
So
sweet.
It's literally a gift to realize that I'm getting angry. It's literally a gift to realize that my alarm system is going off and telling me I'm feeling hurt or I'm feeling sad. Because in that moment, if I'm aware and if I have these tools, the tools that you teach, Michael, the tools of the breath, the tools that are outlined in the Beatitudes, I have the potential to bring a new presence to energies that once defeated me.
Beautiful. And, you know, you talk about that sacrifice thing and how that concept did not exist back then, although they were trying to establish it. And you hear Yeshua saying, listen up, guys. My Father doesn't want your sacrifices. And I've had people say to me, well, yeah, that's because after they killed him, then his father was happy. You know, now they've killed his son, and so now he's happy the sacrifice is done. It's like, that is just so far from the truth. Like, listen to the man. My Father doesn't want your sacrifices. Not me, not anybody. That whole sacrifice thing is based in medieval times when if a servant from the next door neighbor came over and did some damage to your property or stole something from you, it was considered that the scales weren't balanced until the lord of the manor went next door, and no, he didn't have to draw, it wasn't enough to draw the blood of the servant who stole or did the damage. He had to go to the lord of the other manor and draw his blood in order to be satisfied. And it's just like, it's really David Bohm, where he talks about the sustained incoherence of the non-being mind when he talks about this insanity that governs. I mean, there's just such insanity that's taken over so many circles, and yet people cling to their insanity like it is survival and salvation itself, and it's not, it's death. And people in their clinging to that in their pain and their suffering and their disturbance go on saying, well, gee, I wonder why I'm disturbed today. I wonder what happened. Gee, what's going on? Get out of your denial and recognize what you've denied, what offensive energies you've bought into and have been pounded into you. And allow them to gently come forward. The people who put them into you also put in feelings, put in thoughts that would produce guilt if you ever caught them at their game. Catch them at their game. It's safe, and it's safe to forgive the guilt, and it's safe to forgive the pain. It's safe to get over all of that so we get on with the truth of what he said. And the truth is, maybe this stuff called love, that's all. And you don't have to go into a big belief system or who's right or who's wrong. And, you know, if it conflicts with my message, it's Satan's message. Just hold the newborn child That's all you have to do to know the truth about God, to know the truth about yourself. Like, get rid of all this religious claptrap that's been done and all this resistance to religion that's been put in. There's a solution to life, and the solution is hold a newborn child. Tap into the active presence of love. Now go hang out with God. And as you say, that beatitude that's so perfectly put by A.M. of, and now that which formerly put me in conflict, look what happens in the presence of love. It all changes. You know, I have a thought, Tim, that maybe next week what might be interesting to do, and I'd love to hear how it comes together, is toward the last part of Empowered to Heal is where I go into the Kabouris translation of the Aramaic Beatitudes. It might be interesting
exactly,
to play that last part juxtaposed on this one.
Exactly my thought.
That I
have the Enlightenment book, and I remember, because I've listened to it so many times, that at the Empowered to Heal you go through a good part of the Aramaic Beatitudes and will share and let people have the transcript from the Yayam version and compare it to what we get out of Empowered to Heal and just see if we can take another level deeper.
Yeah, I would love to be a fly on a wall to be part of and hear that process and get to play with it. Another thought that I have is perhaps, although that might be a little bit complex, if people as a homework assignment, either before or after, who have the Enlightenment book or those pages of Enlightenment, to take Matthew 5 and then to do their own translation work. You know, maybe somebody would, what's his name, the gentleman who put together the clip art to make
David.
Maybe if David's still participating, maybe he'd take the specific definitions of each of the words from the Beatitudes in Matthew 5 and just, cut and paste them into strips that everybody could have a copy, and then go home and, without reference to anything else, just take those first century definitions from the Kabouris or from the Enlightenment book in Matthew 5 and write out their own Beatitudes. I've done that 3 times, just sat down, totally cleared my mind and just written those out with each time getting a deeper and deeper understanding. And it actually wasn't until the 3rd time that I did that. This goes back 30 years ago now, but it was about the 3rd time I did it that I went, oh my God, this is a set of instructions. This is a how-to. This isn't just a nice philosophy. So it's that might be kind of cool to do maybe as a follow-up. It'd be interesting to see what people come up with. And as I say, I'd love to be a fly on a wall to get the benefit of just tasting and relishing in that energy, because I'm sure there's going to be plenty of process and insight come from it.
Well, there is each week in that lovely group. Are you there?
I understand. I hear you. Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Well, and then this is a great time to just extend the invitation and remind people that they can start their own group or join any group that's around, and that this internet show is available to support them in that process. It is well worth the effort to find a place to meet and bring one or two other people together and start working on this material.
Absolutely. The gifts that come from it are so monumental. And, I look at all the years of doing this, and I know you've been doing it for so many years now, and it's so gratifying and so mind-boggling to watch what unfolds and how the depth of understanding just grows and grows and expands and serves and supports and opens and heals. It's beyond understanding. And so anybody who's listening, you don't have to be an expert at these tools. In fact, maybe this is the first time you've heard anything about what we're doing. If it is, here's what I'm going to suggest you do. Go to the website. Jeannie has, when I first met Jeannie, she knew nothing about this work. It was probably about, I think, maybe 3 months, or maybe not quite that long after we met, that she came to her first series of workshops. I went from, I was in Theodosia. She's 13 hours away in Bristol, Tennessee. And when I got to head in that direction. I did a series of workshops, and she came and sat in that series, and the next week started a support group. So from her experience and the experience of lots of other folks who have contributed to it, she then went to work and created a set of instructions for starting a support group. You don't have to know anything about the work. As Dr. Tim said, we get out a video. And I've had some support groups that say, well, gee, we've listened to all the videos. What do we do now? Well, Dr. Tim, what do you do once you've listened to all the videos?
We start listening to them and watching them again. And we get through probably 2.5 repetitions of each video each year. And since we've been
doing this group.
Not yet. Not even close yet. And we had somebody just last night commenting on this. This is the first time that she has seen one of the videos twice in the year she's been coming. And she commented about how when she first saw this, it made no sense to her whatsoever. And here it is.
No brain cells.
Here it is 8 months later, and she's seeing it again, and she was moved to tears. And she wants to get the video herself, and she wants to go listen to the Empowered to Heal video where there's another aspect of the Beatitudes. And we've had that was part of the conversation last night about how it changes me when I sit in front of a fabulous book or one of these videos, and I hold the perspective that what I currently know is either only partially true or completely false. And I open myself to seeing and hearing and understanding something at a deeper level. It changes me. So the next time I go to watch the video, I'm not the same person. And there's a softness within me. There's a malleability of the soil of my brain cells, of my receptivity, that allows me to get even more from the next repetition. It's quite a fabulous process.
Well, I'll adapt a story about another process to exactly what you're saying, and it's the story about the old Virginia coal miner who runs into the forgiveness work and starts to do the work and watches the videos and works with the tools, and this, you know, old man's grandson just idolizes the old man. And so he starts to sit down with the worksheets and the tools, and after several weeks of doing this, the kid's just like, Grandpa, I love you, and I want to be like you, and I want to do what you do, but, you know, I've been doing this for weeks now, and it just doesn't make any sense. I don't know why you do this, and I don't know why I'm doing that. And so the old coal miner says, well, son, over there by the coal stove, there's a basket that we use to get coal from out in the backyard. And you notice how dirty it is. And you know, I've been using it for coal for a long time. What I want you to do, son, is I want you to take that basket. You know, the creek's down there about 300 feet. I want you to take the basket and go down to the creek and get me a basket full of water. So the kid goes over and picks up the basket. He says, but Grandpa, this is a weaved basket. The water will all fall out. And the grandfather says, son, I have confidence that you could be fast enough that you could get down there and fill that basket with water and get back here and still have water in it. So the kid, you know, he just loves his grandpa, and he wants to please his grandpa. So he takes that basket, he goes down to the creek, and he fills it with water, and he runs back. And, of course, by the time he runs back, all the water's run out. And his grandpa, he says, look, Grandpa, it's empty. And his grandpa says, son, I have confidence in you. You can be fast enough to get back here and still have that basket full of water. So the kid goes down, fills it, runs as fast as his legs will carry him, and basket's empty again. He does this about 20 times and finally says, Grandpa, it's not working. I can't get back here with a basket full of water. And the old man says, yeah, son, I've noticed that, but did you notice how filthy and dirty that basket was when you first started to take it down to the river to fill it with water? You notice how it looks now? We change when we keep washing ourselves in forgiveness. Now, those who say, no, you got to do it in blood, and I say to those, you're stuck in medieval philosophy. Look at your history. The Creator doesn't want your sacrifices. It's a mistake. The Creator wants you to wash yourself. And you wash yourself in forgiveness and the aliveness of the active presence of love. That's what we're here to support you in. If you have hostility, if you have fear, if you have pain, if you have disturbance, if you have upset, we're here to invite you to wash yourself in the active presence of love. And as you do, the basket gets clean. And so that's what we're here to support. Any other thoughts before we check on callers?
No, I think that's a good segue into seeing how people are resonating with what we're talking about.
Cool. Well, Jeannie, is there anything happening in the chat room that we might want to be aware of, or is there anybody in the phone queue with a hand up?
We have two hands up, actually. And the first,
awesome.
Oh, actually, we now have four hands up. The first one is area code 561. You're on the air. Who do we have?
Yeah, I think, yeah. But, yeah, I mean.
561, you're on the air. Welcome. Give us a name. Where are you calling from? I know you're in South Florida, or at least that's where your phone's from. Hey, 561, you're on the air.
Okay, we'll turn them off. The next one is 417. 417,
you're
on
the
air.
Hi, this is Margaret calling. How are you today?
Well, we are blessed and highly favored. How are you, young lady?
Just fabulous, blessed, highly favored, happy, joyous. And I'm so glad that Dr. Tim and you are both there today, Michael, because I wanted to double-check on something that Dr. Tim spoke about yesterday. And I know he's mentioned it before, and it really, the story, Dr. Tim, that you used to illustrate your refinement of taking responsibility by how we use our words, that story really, really made an impact. So this morning I'm taking a shower and the water is running, and that's always a good time to have some introspective thoughts. And so I was wanting to remember and give myself some examples of the difference between using the word triggered in the way most of us do and in your refinement. And so I thought of an example, and I want to check with you to see if this fits the way you meant it yesterday. So in the first part of the example, I might say to someone, your tone of voice triggered my anger. And if I understand your refinement correctly, it would be more true to say, when you said that, your tone of voice, no, I've got the wrong one. Okay, so when you said that, your tone of voice triggered anger in me, but the second way would be, when you said that, I chose
Magda,
to focus on your tone of voice.
Magda?
Yes.
Magda?
Yes.
Maybe just step back from your microphone just a little bit. I think you're overloading a little, and it's distorting some.
Okay.
So it's a little softer.
Is this better?
Better.
Is this better? Okay, yes.
Yes.
So in the refinement, I would say, when you said that, I chose to focus on your tone of voice and triggered my anger. Would that be what you meant yesterday?
Yeah, and it's probably even more accurate to say some part of me has chosen to focus on this little aspect and show me some anger I didn't know I had.
Oh, I like that. Some part of me chose to focus on your tone of voice and showed me some anger I didn't know I had. Okay.
Yeah,
great.
it isn't that I'm consciously choosing what I'm going to get triggered by, but life or God or spirit or light is going to show me. It's gonna, like Michael says, if I'm holding an energy that doesn't belong in me, life is going to come along and kick me in the limitations.
Right.
And so some part of me has chosen to focus on this little aspect of our interaction and show me some anger I didn't know I had.
I'm writing this. Chose to focus on this little part
of our whole interaction.
Of our whole interaction. Okay.
And show me some anger I didn't know I had.
Okay, and show me some anger I didn't know I had. Great, thank you.
And
that's
Dr. Tim, Magda and Dr. Tim, for me, in that languaging, I'm not sure it's accurate that there's really, at that stage, choice involved. I think we can introduce choice, but at that stage, I think the automatic decision system has kicked in. It is a pure resonance response that's happening, and I can choose to take choice over that. So I think that, you know, recognizing we live in a world of resonance, and, you know, it's like a middle C tuning fork vibrates and you put it in front of a second middle C tuning fork. The second middle C tuning fork doesn't have any choice as to whether it vibrates or not. It's going to vibrate. If that response is in me, it's going to be triggered, it's going to resonate. But when I introduce choice, so I realized that what you said resonated some pain in me, and I'm choosing to move in the direction of choice around this pain, and I'm ready to choose to remove, to forgive that pain, and to step into taking charge of that part of my life, as opposed to allowing the automatic decision system to kick in and run the show for me, which is what most people do most of their lives.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a really important point, the difference between the automatic decision maker and the carbon-based memory and choosing. Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
Carbon-based memory has content. If I say, don't think about the color of your car, you can't choose not to think about the color of your car because it's a pure resonance response. But if, you know, you have a memory of when you used to have a yellow car and you don't have a yellow car anymore, and somebody says, gee, here we are out in the parking lot, what color is your car? And you go, yellow. Well, gee, here I am, I'm stuck in it. I can choose to say, no, my car is white. I can begin to take choice over that automatic decision system. And as I forgive, my power of choice really lies in my ability to change that part of my mind.
Excellent. Yeah. Good.
That's it for you, Tim.
Yeah, I think I don't think they're mutually exclusive, but yeah, I see now why you were so quiet yesterday when I brought that up. Yeah, it's I was using the example of Jeannie, how she talked about how she would get upset if somebody ignored her. And when she had done her work, and then there was an example of someone ignoring her in a group setting, and somebody else noticed it, but Jeannie didn't. And I was combining that with the idea that there are times when things happen in front of me, and I just go, your word is blotto. I go blank or unconscious because I'm simply not paying attention to that. And that doesn't mean I've necessarily resolved all my issues around that. It just means I'm focused on something else. So I think it can happen both ways. If I have that energy in me and I'm focusing on the 9 bits that are going to trigger it, I'm going to get triggered and I don't have an option. I can have that energy in me and be in the same room with something that would normally trigger me and not have done my work, but I'm not noticing it. I'm focused in on some other aspect and I don't get triggered. So I think it's possible it both happen. And for me, it's just more empowering than to say, you know, I'm trying to be clear about the fact that it's all an internal process. And when I talk about how you triggered me or you did that, that puts my focus on the outside.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I really like about it, is that it takes us to a deeper level of ownership of our own responsibility. for creating us all of this internally. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, to me the choice isn't in what brain cells fire. If the brain cells are there and the situation presents itself, unless I've got some other major thing going on. You know, there's the research that was done with cats, and they put a cat, they put a device in its ear and that clicks, and they have electrodes wired to the brain, and when they click this device in the cat's ear, the wiring that goes to an oscilloscope, you see a bleep on the oscilloscope as the brain cells fire. So here it is. So the click happens, the oscilloscope bounces. But if you put a cat in a bell jar, the focus of the cat goes to the, or pardon me, if you put a mouse in a bell jar in front of the cat, the focus of the cat goes to the mouse, and now you can click, 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 and that's totally gated out of awareness. It isn't that the cat has chosen to gate it out. It's that there's a greater focus. And to me, where the choice lies is when I realize that I have pain or turmoil. I can't choose not to experience what's there. If it's resonated, if it's triggered, it's going to fire. But where my choice comes in is once I realize it's firing in me, I can choose to forgive it. I can bring choice in instead of that automatic process happening, and I can move the content that doesn't belong.
Right.
And really, to me, that's right. Where my power, and that's where the empowerment of going, yeah, I'm choosing to do something different here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm in full agreement, and I think there's this wording I need to come up with that says, and I was a little bit more clear today, saying something in me, like the higher power, the light, something, that part of me that wants to heal has chosen to focus on this to resonate the stuff I have. And if there was a mouse in a bell jar and I was a cat, it doesn't mean I don't hear the clicker going off. It just means I'm completely focused on something else.
Doesn't get through the brain. Right.
Right. And if I'm focused on this one little bit about the tone you're using when you ask me, where was this, why did this happen, I'm choosing to focus on that not consciously. I don't know that consciously I'm going to say, oh, good, I've got some anger I need to resolve. Because I'm not at that level of enlightenment yet.
For me, when I would language choice, to me, that would indicate conscious action as opposed to automatic decision system, you know, for clarity's sake. So automatic decision system, you know, don't think about the color of your car, what's 2 + 2, what's the front door of your house look like, brain cells fire. That's just the automatic decision system serves up what's there. To me, when I bring in the language of choice and when I move into choice, now I'm bringing in conscious awareness that can remove and override unconscious processes. Or perhaps not so much override the unconscious process, but bring the unconscious process from an automatic level, an unconscious level, to where I'm fully conscious of it, and I recognize, well, this hostility, this fear doesn't serve me, so I'm going to purposely, consciously use the tools, apply the tools to this energy to remove them. I'm going to forgive these energies. And now that they're not there anymore, as in that example used with Jeannie, now that those brain cells are, you know, I'm finished with that, or at least at that level I'm finished with it, you know, the response just isn't there anymore now that I've applied choice and I've done my work.
So, Michael, with what you said, I'm going to rephrase this and see if this fits, using the same example. When you said that, some part of me focused on your tone of voice. No, I'm going to go back. When you said that, some part of me automatically focused on your tone of voice and triggered my anger. Now I am choosing to use that as something I can heal.
That would be accurate for me. That would fit, yes.
Okay.
Is that fit for you? I think that's on target. Does that fit for you, Tim?
Yeah, and I can understand why you're so focused on it, because this word choice represents a spiritual faculty.
Right.
And,
right.
And I'm talking about something that isn't a spiritual faculty, but maybe a gift talked about. When I'm disturbed, I've been given the gift of being able to bring a new presence to energies that once defeated me. And out of that whole 20 trillion bits of information that was available at that time, some part of me focused on this, which resonates my anger.
That fits for me.
So we've taken the word choice out of there, and it's describing the same process, but it's not.
Yes. I'm in full agreement with you. I think that's right on track, and to bring the word choice in is, to me, it is clearly a spiritual faculty, and it's something that indicates a conscious process as opposed to an automatic or an unconscious process.
Cool. I'd like to add something else, now that we're all in agreement.
Yeah.
That was a great discussion. I love what you just did, Dr. Tim, around using the word my, and the possessive pronoun my, you know, my anger, my fear, because very often myself and others, I hear us saying the anger, the fear, and that really takes it out of the realm of responsibility and creates this little bit of distance between myself and my feelings. But when we use that possessive, my anger, my fear, my hostility, we are, again, emphasizing our own responsibility. So I just wanted to offer that to listeners who may be able to add something to their own awareness of responsibility by changing the pronoun or changing the word from the.
Definitely ownership's a big thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
Very cool.
Well, that was a great.
I do have a quick thought for you I'm thinking about it. If you would check with Chuck, I sent him a text yesterday about coming over there tomorrow and wondering if he was available. If you'd ask him to take a look at that and get back to me if that works for him.
He did mention that he got that, and yes, he's going to be available, so the two of you can connect on that.
Awesome, and I'm working to get somebody from Branson to come with me, so we'll have some help.
Cool.
I hope.
Are you going to be staying over or going back to Branson?
I'll probably be going back to Branson, coming back here.
Okay. All right. All right.
Awesome.
Thank you. That was a great discussion, a great clarification. Oh, Chuck said he texted you to ask when he should come.
Okay.
Did you get that, Michael?
I have not.
Okay.
But I will. I'm going to try to be there at 8 in the morning.
Okay. Thanks for the great discussion, the clarification, and I'll let you guys go because I know there's another caller.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Good work. All right.
Thank you.
Much appreciation, Dr. Tim and Monica.
Okay, Michael, I'm going to have to scoot, so I will talk to you again tomorrow.
All right. We appreciate you.
All right. Take care.
Blessings. Bye-bye.
Okay, and we do have two more callers and some of the discussion in the chat room, and I don't know if you want to add to or clarify that it's more than just changing what we focus on, but it's actually a change inside. The same situation can happen, and, you know, some people can say, well, I just choose to not go there or choose to not look at it. I've heard some people talk about, you know, choosing to not be angry or whatever.
Yeah,
but
right.
If they don't go inside and change the anger or the fear or whatever's going on, just like with this, the example that you were giving with that man in the workshop that we did, I could have said, well, I just decided to not pay attention to him. But there's a big difference in that and actually going inside and making a change so that that reality is just not even there. It's not that I chose to not look at it. It's just that it was an actual internal change.
And I chose to look at it and apply the tool of forgiveness to delete it. Remember that the meaning, for those who are listening and those who are in the chat room, the meaning of forgiveness is not, I let you off the hook because you resonated this in me. If you've done something that's off base, I may choose to pardon you, and accurately letting somebody off the hook is called pardoning. And then once you gave me the gift of resonating that and I pardoned you, then I chose to go inside myself and apply the tool of forgiveness to remove what it is that you resonated in me so that I can be finished with that issue. Great point, Jeannie. It's not about, oh, well, I choose not to look at that, pretending that that's choice. That's denial. And we want to come out of, you go all the way back to the book of James in the New Testament. Stop your denial. And then he goes on, and it's such a genius piece if you look at that little piece in there and you forget about religious aspects. This isn't religious, but you hear James in that section where he says, stop your denial. He goes on to explain exactly where men come to war with each other. And he says it's because of the war that's happening inside of us. And if we keep denying that which is inside of us rather than allowing it to come forward, then we're in trouble. Allow it to come forward. Apply forgiveness. Embrace it in the presence of love, as Dr. Tim started out sharing with that. Bringing this old turmoil forward in the space of a new awareness and love is what begins its dissolution. And the reality management worksheet is specifically designed to show you how to do that. And if you don't have access to that tool, you can go to our website, www.whyagain.org. And in the upper left-hand corner, there's a link that says Start Here. Second link down is the worksheet process itself. Then there's at least 6 radio shows where we've walked somebody through the whole process. So you've got 6 different sets of custom instructions for how to walk through the worksheet process. And then we're here 5 days a week to have a conversation with you, to have a personal conversation to specifically tailor our support and the refinement of the understanding of the principles as we've just been doing. And, it's just an awesome privilege to get to do that with such genius minds as the people who call into this show. And we appreciate each and every one of you. So, Jeannie, you've got a caller for us?
We do. And I think this next one might be Dora, since this is Wednesday. It's Unstuck Wednesday. So, 954, you're on the air. How you doing, Dora?
Hi. How is everybody doing today?
Getting unstuck.
Unstuck.
We're good, yes. How about you, young lady?
Doing fine. Last week we were talking about sugar, and someone had sent a message to Michelle, and they said to check out, and I know I wrote this down incorrectly, ginkgo. So when I went to Whole Foods, I said, well, ginkgo is for mind alertness, and I go, well, I need that too. But so I didn't pick that up, and then so I couldn't find what they were talking about, but I did grab a bottle of cinnamon. And I take a pill in the morning, and I don't even think about sugar all day. I need to take one, just before I leave work, so the evening I'm continue on. I think you can take, 3 pills a day. But I don't know if Michelle is there, but if that gentleman, I can always call Michelle later if she's not on today, if he could send her another message and let me know what bottle I should have been looking for. But the cinnamon works well.
I just turned Michelle on. If you're there, Michelle, can you answer Dora on that one?
Hi, yeah, I'm driving. I think what I did is I cut and paste that chat so I have it saved, because Peace wrote out 3 things that day as far as supplements that might assist with the craving. But like Dr. Tim and Dr. Rice always go back to, though, when you suppress those cravings, then you suppress the opportunity to heal what's driving them.
Yes, and I work, and I definitely work on those, and I cleared out some more on Monday. But during the day, when I'm at work, not thinking about the sugar and doing that cinnamon, so the cinnamon tablet was great.
That's amazing.
To me, the whole idea of being whole or holy is to use all the tools that you've got. People will say to me, well, gee, Michael, if I've got a headache, does it mean that I shouldn't take an aspirin? I say, no, doesn't mean don't take an aspirin. If you've got a headache, you don't have to sit around for 3 hours in your headache. However, if you've got a headache, you realize that you're getting a signal. You're being told something. If you run to take the pill to get rid of the headache and don't do anything about it, you're going to get yourself in deeper trouble. If you embrace and go, my body's telling me something, I'm going to pull out a worksheet, I'm going to do some work around this headache and looking into the deeper levels of myself so that I can decode what this headache is trying to tell me, now I'm doing my work around it, take the aspirin. You don't have to sit and suffer for 3 hours or 10 hours or, you know, whatever it is. And I think in the same way, what I hear you saying, Dora, is, okay, I'm doing my work around these issues and around sugar, and I found that I have something that assists me. I'm not suppressing it as such. I'm still working with the issues, and I found something that supports me. And you know, accepting those things that support us, I think, can be a fine balance. And, of course, everybody has to determine their own balance in that regard.
Most definitely, because I definitely work on my issues, and I do the sheets, and I do other things, and I'm slowly chipping. Well, I've been chipping away at that iceberg for a long time now. But the cinnamon, you're right, that does help during the day, so I'm not... You know, I munch on the nuts or I have some fruit and I'm peaceful and calm. And then I continue working on the issues. So it does assist, but I'm definitely not suppressing anything. So thank you.
And Dora, Peace is in the chat room. And since Michelle said he was the one that mentioned it, then I asked him. He says that it's Ginkg Gold, GINKGOLD, mask.
Oh, thank you so much. Ginkg Gold mask.
You're welcome. Yeah.
And I think the Ginkg Gold is a ginkgo biloba product, and I'm not sure about its impact on sugar. I mean, it is definitely something to keep the brain alert and support the brain. But Ginkg Gold, I think, is still a ginkgo product, and I'm not sure its impact on sugar. Maybe Peacemaker might be able to enlighten us a little more on that, or we'll do some research.
Okay, good. Okay, well, thank you. I will check that out. But that cinnamon really does work, too, just to let everybody know. There's cinnamon tablets in case you don't have time. Keep putting cinnamon on your toast or whatever. Okay, good. Well, I hope everybody has a very good week, and thank everybody for the information, and we'll check in again on next Wednesday.
Okay. Blessings. So, we appreciate you, young lady.
Hi. Thank you. Love
Thanks
you, guys.
For keeping
Bye-bye.
Us on that getting unstuck in the world.
Absolutely. And we've got about 2 minutes. We do have one more caller. It's area code 775. You're on the air.
Hi. Hello?
775. Give us a name. Where are you calling from?
My name's Laura, right? I'm calling from Pahrump, Nevada.
Wonderful. Welcome to the show. How can we support you? We've just got about 2 minutes, so... We'll do our best,
okay.
And if we don't get a complete answer to your question, maybe you could call in earlier in the show tomorrow, and we'll carry on the conversation.
Well, I just had started out with Dr. Andraki and his wonderful wife, and
Claudia.
I had a huge problem with prescription drugs, and I just wanted to tell you guys that I started doing this program and doing the work. And it has totally changed my life. It has saved my life, actually. So I just wanted to thank you guys. It was just an honor to speak to you today.
Well, I'm just so glad to be on your team.
Yeah. And, you know, Dr. Andraki has really helped me a lot, too. And his wife is phenomenal at working with me to do my worksheets right and I go to the support group here in Pahrump at Healthcare Partners. So anyway, I just
That's
wanted
awesome.
To give them a huge shout out and tell you that this program has really saved my life. When I first started, I was in a really bad place. So my life is changing.
Well, we're
I got
glad
a lot
to
of
be
work
on
to
the
do.
Team. We're glad to be supporting you. Please do a favor for us. When you see Dr. Andraki and Claudia, please give them both a huge hug for us and our appreciation too. And we're here any time with any questions you have to support you, and delighted that you're here. We're down to a few seconds. I'm going to have to close the show out. Give everybody the best gift you can. Give them the best year yet of your eternal life. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.